Hi, and welcome to the Forest Lakes District EFCA podcast. The FLD's focus is to connect, equip, and multiply leaders in fulfillment of our vision to glorify God by multiplying transformational churches among all peoples. You are listening to our series called Stories of Discipleship. Our hope is that you will walk away feeling encouraged as we celebrate the amazing things that God is doing in the area of discipleship in our churches, while also equipping one another to be better disciples who multiply other disciples. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Forest Lakes District podcast. We are in our newer series. We're a couple episodes in now, so go back and listen to the other ones if you haven't. But we're calling this Stories of Discipleship, where we just get to illuminate what the Lord is doing in our churches through discipleship and through the people who He's called to ministry, both paid vocational workers or people who are volunteering. And so today we're here with Jordan Heesch. You want to say hi to everybody?
Hey guys. Hey Steph. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Happy to have you. Do you want to share a couple of things? Obviously we know your name, what church you're at, and just a little bit about you. Anything you want to share? Your stage of life is always helpful because discipleship looks different in different stages of life.
For sure. Yeah. So I'm down in Bridgepoint in Wisconsin Dells. I've been a part of the team down here for about 10 to 12 years on staff. My dad's a pastor, so I've been around the church world pretty much my whole life. Married, three kids. So that's always lots of fun stuff constantly in our day. But for me specifically, avid coffee drinker. I try to drink coffee from the moment I'm awake to the moment I go to sleep. I love barbecue. So in Wisconsin, it's tough to find good barbecue, but sometimes I'll make special trips to other places just to eat real barbecue. Those are probably the most important personal things about me.
Yes. Can you share some barbecue details in case we have barbecue lovers around?
Kansas City, make a trip there. That's it. I did a barbecue call with a friend. We went to six different places. It was amazing. So if you like barbecue, yeah, there. I'm going. We got a wedding we're going to in January down in Texas. So, you know, we'll find a bunch of barbecue down there. I think really, you know, it's just so much better in other places of the country where they know what they're doing.
That's very, very true. I love that. Well, I'll put in the show notes some recommendations. Just kidding. We're going to be missing a barbecue depending when people are listening to this. I don't know. That just feels like a summer thing. And I feel like we're going to be missing it. So,
sure.
Okay. So you said your dad was a pastor. So that kind of hints, I would assume, that you grew up around the church. What was early discipleship like for you? Or would you have called it that? What did early spiritual formation look like for you?
Yeah, so, you know, when you live in an environment, you don't realize exactly the nuances, the difference of what you live in versus cultural norms and things like that. Hmm. So for me, after I got out of my parents' home is when I started to see, really appreciate what discipleship was being done in my life. It started with my dad, very, very proactive in my life. He and my mother are both, I would say they're people that live by conviction. Mm. So it was less talking to me about Jesus and it was more showing me who Jesus was. And as I've reflected on that, it taught me a lot about discipleship. They never said, hey, you should go and serve someone because Jesus said we should. Hmm. They would have my brother and I come serve people with them. And then afterwards on the way home, we'd be like, yeah, isn't that cool? You know, and this is part of like what God has for us is we are to serve and connect with others. And like, so there were just very like simple foundational pieces that they imparted on in the home setting of discipleship isn't this I go to this place with this person for an hour a week. Mm-hmm. It's not just that in that space. Yeah. There is elements of that where we meet and we discuss very specific things. But then in addition to that, it's this active, let's serve people together. Let's care for people together. Let's love people together. And then as we're doing things together with someone, that discipleship stuff comes alive. So that was kind of the first thing. The second thing is I was active in youth group. My dad was a youth pastor when I was growing up, so forcibly active. And I saw discipleship by a guy that was a volunteer youth leader and how he discipled me. And I didn't, again, this was a hindsight thing. When I was going through it, I didn't think of it that way. But later, you know, a few years after this, I'm looking back and realizing like the guy's conversations were just about normal real life stuff. It was very minimal about, hey, what's your theological understanding of this? And it was more about, hey, what did you do in this situation? I was active in sports. So it was like, hey, how did you react and respond to this? And then he would tell me a story about his own personal life, you know, responses to things and experiences. And so that was my introduction to discipleship at a younger age. It was kind of like, I would actually share, probably say it more like this. We shared values. They valued something so much. It mattered so much to them that they had to share it with me because they knew I would value it.
Yes. And we see that in scripture over and over again, of that passing on of life, not just theological training. I think especially in the Western church, it's really easy to be like, okay, it's the theology. What do you believe about this? Tell me the information, when it's really way more than that. And so I love that your parents and your discipler in your youth were able to show you like, this is what it looks like. We're practicing the ways of Jesus, not just knowing about Jesus. It's that like embodied reality. So that's really, really cool and super powerful. Makes me think about parenting and how I try to disciple my kids. Like, yes, getting them in the word, so important, but doing life alongside them. I think one of my favorite things that Steve does is he'll bring our kids along to things that he does. And I try to do the same. He's obviously just more active within the church because he's a pastor too. And I find that to be probably more impactful than anything I say to them sitting across the table, although that's valuable too. So, okay. So how did your early formation through these individuals, how did that kind of shape when you started discipling other people? How did you kind of step into that? Do you remember your first experience discipling someone else?
I didn't know how to do it any other way. So what made sense to me was, let's go do something together. So, you know, for us being in Wisconsin Dells, we've got this international student flair in this community. So we have all these countries that are coming, you know, people from these countries that are coming here. So in the early days when I was kind of activated post college, as we were figuring out what are ways that we could meet some needs, that's really where it started, was, oh, I'm just going to go out and do some of this stuff. So I'd rather, you know, have somebody to do this with, type of thing.
Yeah.
And so it kind of was more of an invitation, like, hey, let's go do this together. You know, and then through that, kind of building some relational trust and connection within that is then where those conversations would grow from there. You know, start to talking about getting into some of the spiritual gifts conversations, getting into some of the understanding of what is some of the purpose and calling God is having on your life, and really walking out some of those things of like, what are questions that this person has, and what are they seeking some, you know, some support in understanding.
Yeah.
So very much, this is what my dad showed me, so I'm going to try it this way, and inviting people along in the journey with me.
Yeah. Have you amended that posture towards discipleship at all, or any mistakes that you made along the way that you're like, oh, this is a way I've grown. This is something I've adapted over time.
A ton of mistakes. I think relationships in general, you spend enough time with someone, there's tension and there's challenge.
Yeah.
So as I've seen a lot of that side of it and experienced and walked through it, have learned a lot about accountability, transparency, clear understandings of expectations, even in a relational component. When we talk like discipleship, like rarely, I don't ever sit down with somebody and say, okay, I'm going to disciple you now. Hey, you were discipled. How'd that feel? But it is a clear understanding of expectations, right? Like, hey, we're sitting together. We're actively doing this together because your desire is to learn and to grow.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to support you in that. But I'm also, as a part of that support, there are going to be the challenging conversations. We have to build trust. So there has to be honesty. So I think learning some of that, like speaking some of those things out early on in a relationship, is one way I've seen I needed to grow a lot. So that on the back end, I wouldn't have this kind of festering frustration of like, well, what are we doing? Like, I thought we were on the same page. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's a big gap in our understanding. So that was a big one, you know. And then the more we got into the business scope, was the more I learned it is so much fun to do this stuff in a business space, as well as the church and personal. But in the business space, we've learned so much of how to intertwine our faith and our conviction with running like good companies that care about people.
Yeah. So can we pause there? And can you give an overview of what you're talking about? Because I know a lot of us in the district know about this. We've had your coffee and it's awesome. But for people who are listening who might not know what you're alluding to, give us a little flyby of that.
Okay. How far back do you want to go?
As far back as you want to take us.
Yeah. Okay, I mean... cool. So the Bridgepoint down here in the Dells, we are big on discipling, mentoring, and activating people. And an aspect of that can be very intimidating is we get into spaces that we don't have a lot of experience in, but they're places that we feel like the Lord is moving us into. And so a number of years ago, almost 12 years ago, my wife and I felt like we needed to be more active in reaching some of our community in Wisconsin Dells. So as we prayed and researched, I came up with coffee. Hey, coffee seems like it would be a great connecting point. And so I started roasting coffee. I bought my first home roaster without any idea of what I was doing. And then over the next 5 or 6 years, I kind of focused on the craft of that and learned how to do that well. Then we got to the point where in 2014, we opened Bella Goose Coffee, our first location in Wisconsin Dells, with four other people. And it was really the heart of it was we believe strongly in the anointing of local church. In addition to that, we've seen the Western church on a broad strokes is struggling with finding how to connect to community, to your local community outside of your church. And so as we wrestled with that here in the Dells, we thought, hey, let's create a marketplace where we offer value. We offer a product that people love, but through those active pieces of being the hands and feet of Jesus, they will continue to come back because they love who we are as people and because we love and see them well. So that all started in 2014. Additionally with that, we had a heart for people that were affected by trafficking or were trafficking victims.
Yeah.
And primarily in Southeast Asia, we had a lot of contacts and we saw firsthand the scope of human trafficking in Thailand and the Philippines. And so as we were opening, you know, coffee businesses here in the Dells, we were also like, okay, God, what do we do about what's going on overseas and our friends and our people that we know over there who could use some support in that? And so a couple of years after we opened Bella Goose in the Dells, we find ourselves in the Philippines working. We start a coffee cart, we start employing people to be baristas and work for Bella Goose in the Philippines. And then in 2018, we open our first location in the Philippines and then our first location in Thailand.
Wow.
And so Now here we are, 2018. We've got three locations, three different countries. And really the heart of it all is creating these connecting points with the community so that they can experience Jesus in a tangible way.
I'm just thinking about how you have these external realities. You're meeting physical needs outside the walls of your church. You're meeting relational needs outside the walls of your church. How does that kind of connect to what you're doing at Bridgepoint? Because there's the outreach in that, and then there's the bringing people into a relationship with Jesus, and then there's entering into discipleship. So how do you connect those in your context? Yeah, how do you connect those?
Yeah. So Bridgepoint steps into the space of the local church community. So supporting the one another's and consistent, active community engagement. So what it looks like for us is we see the platform on Sunday morning is a time for us to come together, challenge, encourage, and send out. So we have 6 days of the week where our people aren't gathering together. They're active on mission. They're active in discipleship spaces. Yeah. And then when we come together as a church body, we just celebrate those stories. You know, it's about, for us, anytime Bridgepoint gathers, prayer has got to be one of the most central forces of what we're doing. So even breaking off together in big groups and talking about, wow, this week here was a prayer celebration. And so praying over each other, sharing the stories of what God is doing in their lives from previous weeks, sharing in, you know, family challenges and struggles, and supporting each other in that way. And then the other aspect we see as the community support side of stuff is the small group gatherings. Having consistent midweek touch points where the church body can encourage each other. Like, we should be getting tired throughout the week because of the work that we're doing, because of what God has for us to do in our work scope, the work we're doing with our hands, or in our relational scope, the ways that we're connecting with people. So that's really where we see Bridgepoint is bringing this kind of spattering of people just together under the same roof to meet a few times a week. And then the other aspect of Bridgepoint is encouraging people to see where God has them outside of the walls of the building to be constantly activated within them.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's the picture of the church gathered and then the church scattered. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to build up and encourage and equip each other. And then we're supposed to, it's not supposed to end there. It's supposed to go out into the community. And what a cool, if you want to talk a little bit about just the cultural realities of being in the Dells and what it's been like for you guys as a church to kind of learn and enter into different cultural settings. I mean, everywhere you go, I think of our family going to the Dells, everyone's name tag, they're from a different place. What has it been like for you guys to engage those cultural realities and train people to do that?
It was definitely was it, like in the early days, there was a steep learning curve. I think we've always embraced the missional call is as much in our backyard as it is overseas. Or the elements of it, there's different expressions. So having all this right here in our backyard, one thing we learned early on was we should not build expectations that people come to find us. We should go and find people. So with these students that you're referring to, you know, we've got over 50 countries represented every year in the Dells. We know where they live. We know where they work. And so it's kind of on our people to go and connect and build those relationships. So fun thing is it's really taught us in our mindset of like, if I want to serve people and love people the way that Jesus has for me, I got to go find them. So as silly as that is, like, we obviously know it's not about sitting back on a couch. But it also is just a little bit of a challenging, intimidating thing. I'm not a super highly relational person. So for somebody that's in that space, it has to be a little bit of a, okay, God, Holy Spirit, I need you to show up right now because I'm not sure how I'm going to connect to this person.
Yeah.
So in the early days, it taught us a lot about that. Kind of getting out of our comfort zone is where we started to find the Holy Spirit and be refined to listen to what we feel like God was moving us in.
Yeah.
I think another aspect is it taught us is we have to, if we're going to embrace God's call in our life and we're not equipped yet for that, then as we're going and following him, he will equip us with the spiritual tools, but we also have some on our side that we need to work in equipping. So if it's conversational language barriers, trying to understand how do I connect within that? Am I going to learn 15 different languages? Absolutely not. You know, I know English and nothing else really. So how am I going to connect? You know, so we learned about, oh, people love to share culture through sharing food. So you know, we invite people over, we share a meal. And then the first thing they say is, I want to share a Turkish meal with you. Could I do that? Because it's stuff like that where you're like, oh, that's actually a lot of fun. But when you're on the, you know, the front side of it, you're like, I have no idea. How do I talk to somebody from Jamaica or Turkey or Nicaragua or wherever it might be?
Right.
And what we're finding is the truth of scripture come out. Like everybody wants to know, is there a creator? Like, is like a Muslim, like we have conversations with Muslim students. Is the God that I have been taught actually God?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, as soon as they find out, oh, hey, you're a pastor at a church, or they'll meet my father, and they have a lot of respect for a pastor. As soon as they find that out, they start to ask questions. So who was Jesus actually? Because this is what I've been taught, or this is what I've been told. Is that true? And what we found is there is such a hunger for truth within young people. A lot of them, this is their first time away from mom and dad, first time out of their normal home country, comfortable experience. So they're actually like actively seeking, what is this life about? So that was a fun, really kind of learning thing of like, yeah, we say yes to God. He equips us, yes. And we also gotta be ready to do some stuff on our end to put ourselves in the right places and positions to connect to people.
Wow. Do you have, you had mentioned when you gather on Sundays, one facet of that is celebrating and saying, okay, we were the church scattered. Now we're together. Let's all share what God has done. Can you think, are there any stories from your history at Bridgepoint and in the Dells that stand out to you that you'd be willing to share? Because that's something that we want to emphasize. Obviously, this podcast is stories of discipleship. I think celebrating what the Lord has done, you see it in scripture, look back and remember. And so that's such a powerful tool that we have as believers. So do you have any of those that you'd want to share?
There's a few of them that kind of jump out initially, thinking about, we've had a, you know, people with some getting some freedom from alcohol addiction. Neat stories of some spiritual stuff. People walking into Bella Goose and saying, you know, oh, I, you know, they don't want me to come in here. And then we find out a little bit more that they is demonic influence type of thing.
Interesting.
And then getting to be a part of walking somebody through, well, what do you do about that? If you're experiencing this, I think it, what's interesting to me, a lot of what we're connected with a food pantry that we started at a Bridgepoint, and it grew and grew and grew, and it got bigger than what Bridgepoint could handle. And so there's a lady named Shannon that she's a member of Bridgepoint that she was like, hey, I'll take this thing and I'll split it off and I'll run this thing. So back in the early days, we had a closet with a refrigerator that we basically gave people some food out of.
Yeah.
And you'd maybe have a couple people a week kind of thing, or a couple people a month that would come through and use it. And Shannon was kind of like, this is not what the vision God gave me for it. I think it's got to be something more. And pre-COVID, you know, they had moved us to a different space. They had grown, but then pre-COVID, I think it was February of 2020, they kind of had made an announcement. Hey, I think we're going to have to be winding down. I don't think this is going to happen for us anymore. And 3 weeks later, COVID kind of blew up. Some of the stay-at-home orders, all that stuff kind of started to come through. Well, the food pantry's funding skyrocketed. And so we kind of have this funny thing where Shannon will stand up at least twice a Sunday and just kind of share a story. But, you know, it started with a couple people a month to now the Thanksgiving week, they gave away, they fed 1,000 families in a 3 hour window.
Oh my goodness.
And I think the most interesting thing, exciting thing to me about something like that is God took one woman who had never done anything with a food pantry before. She came to my dad and I, and she said, I have this dream. I want to feed people. And my dad and I were like, great. We don't have any resources to offer you, but boy, we'll rally around you as much as we can.
Yeah.
You know, and God just has blown that thing up to be this expression of serving, being the hands and feet of Jesus, feeding people, caring for orphans, widows, hungry, naked, all of those elements. Mm-hmm. They are so active in how they do that and how they serve. So that's not a really concise one story, but it's this like thousands of people a week that have been able to feed their families, put food on the table because one woman says yes and keeps saying yes and keeps inviting people and mentoring and discipling them as they pursue the things of the Lord.
That's such a cool picture of discipleship, because I think if we put discipleship in a box and say it's sitting across from somebody once a week for an hour, information transferring, we're going to miss out on women like that who God made her to be is this servant who loves her community and cares for the orphan and the widow and the poor. And you as the church were able to just lift her up and say, yeah, go do that. Use that gift that you have and obviously come together and be equipped on Sundays, but be sent as well. And I think if you're doing discipleship well, you have the sending. And if you're being sent well, it means you've been equipped well. And so it feels like these things have to go together if things are being done well. My last question comes from Luke 14:27, and it says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, which is that's a tall order. And it means that there's a cost. Can you think of a time for you or maybe in someone else's life that discipleship has cost you something and was it worth it? I think as Christians, sometimes we come back to that question, if we're honest, be like, is all of this worth it? Is living this way that is apart from how the world lives, is it worth it? So talk on that.
Yeah. So I think being activated in other cultures, it has shown me that our cost for discipleship and our cost for following Jesus can be painful for us in America at times, but I would say it's not typically sacrificial from that standpoint of what I've seen people when they say yes to the Lord in other cultures, and it means that they are literally saying goodbye to family, job, security, safety, all of that. So I think, you know, anytime I hear this verse, at first I think, okay, like, carry your cross. I get obviously the image of Jesus on a cross. Like, okay, this could be unto death.
Yeah.
Am I willing to? Well, yeah, absolutely. In a vacuum, I would like to say, yes, I'm willing to.
Right.
But when I see it face to face and people experience it in America too, and I understand that's a part of what people deal with on a daily here in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would be careful when I look at when I have to sacrifice things for my own discipleship journey. I think how I would look at it is I'm constantly saying no to my selfish desires of comfort.
Yes.
And that can be anything from if somebody is, well, so using me personally, I'm a very high introvert. So I want to constantly be in my own home. with my own family. I want to just be in that space, quiet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there can be a small piece of sacrifice on a daily for me that is like, I need to go talk to somebody new, somebody that I don't feel comfortable talking to.
Yep.
Absolutely 100% worth it. Every time I felt uncomfortable with having to do something, when I feel like the Lord's leading me, it has always been worth it. Public speaking, I've always hated to do it. Every time I do it, you step in, the Lord answers the prayer. And on the other side, so much good comes from it. But I think, you know, trying to a specific example or answer to your question, I think when I read scripture and I understand that God doesn't always tell us the why of everything, I think part of it is an invitation to follow his plan so that we can see that his will and plan for our life is so much better. But we would rarely say yes to his plan if we saw the culmination of it. It's just my opinion.
No, I agree.
Even if the culmination is good. I mean, even I was just telling you the story of where we start with Bella Goose. If in 2010, when I bought that home roaster, I was told, hey, you're going to run a multinational company if you do this, I would be like, no, no way. I don't have the experience for that. I can't do that. I didn't go to school for it. I don't speak any other language. So I think there's that aspect of it where it's really the sacrificial aspect is I'm not in control.
Yeah.
I try to be.
Yes.
So I need to sacrifice my desire to control so that I can position myself to follow what the Lord has for me.
Yeah.
And I think what comes from it is just amazingly beautiful gifts that we could never imagine. And even more than the gifts is the amazing, like, learning about who God is, learning about his character in real and tangible ways, and then learning about ourselves. And he is in us. We have pieces of him in who we are. And so when we're in those positions to learn about him, we learn about ourselves, and the outcome is beyond what we could imagine.
Yeah. And I think that's a good reminder for Christians here, where yes, there might be some challenges in our culture, but a lot of them center around comfort. And so when you have this very real reminder and have seen stories of people who have to give up their family, or who are kicked out of their families or their communities, or there could be, you know, issues of physical safety, it kind of puts in a box like, okay, we actually don't have as many barriers to truly discipling people and doing outreach in our community. We can do that. And that's something that we don't think to thank God for enough. Because sometimes we just see the barriers to it, or the ways that we're struggling within it, or the little things along the way that we have to give up, which is worth grieving. But we also need those moments where it gets right-sized, because we're pretty lucky to be able to proclaim Jesus here. So
I think, too, it's getting tastes of having to give things up has shown me that a part of the walk, a part of the journey with the Lord is there should be the giving up of things.
Yeah.
And I think that is a challenging aspect of the culture that we exist in the Western world, is we're told we don't have to.
Like,
I should run a business or run a church to get to the top, so then I don't have to be the one that's doing this daily activity, that's waking up early, that's sacrifice, you know, whatever it might be.
Yep.
And then that's when you're like, all right, I've arrived. And I love about where our current youngest generations are right now, people that are in high school and then, you know, in college, kind of, they are seeing that and they're like, maybe that's not my drive. Maybe my drive is not to be the best, most successful.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I think this new generation is starting to see some of the ways that, as we've come before them, have gravitated to something. And we're like, oh, maybe that's not what it should be. And they're looking at that and they're like, no, I want my whole existence to be about Jesus. I don't want to work for 50 years or 40 years and then do something. And they're like, tell me how I can do it now in the entirety of who I am.
Yes.
So that's part of my hope for where we're moving as a culture, is like, It's not a desire for comfort. It's a desire for passionate pursuit of the values that we have and the convictions. And that's how I'm going to, that's how I'm going to look at my life and be like, is this successful? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful. And yeah, I think if we can take this part of these younger generations who strive for authenticity and align that with God's will so that they can authentically live out their faith in everything they do. Yeah, they don't want to just go get a 9-to-5. They want to do something that they feel like they're making an impact. And I feel like I'm a millennial, so I feel like our generation operates similarly. And if people open their lives up to God, I think that could be one of the coolest things to watch. I think so many times we fear the next generation and, you know, have all these stereotypes of the downside of who they are. But there is this authenticity piece that if we can mobilize that for the kingdom is so cool. And that's why discipleship is huge within our churches and making it a place for these people to come in and wrestle and ask the questions and then be sent into the places that they're passionate about and want to be.
I agree completely. I think discipling this youngest generation to be equipped, because they are going to disrupt the entire, whatever, whether it's the marketplace, the business world, or it's the church world, they're just going to come through and disrupt so much. And I'm excited because I think God is going to use the generation to really bring forth some cool change.
Yeah.
But like you said, they do, they need people to mentor and to disciple and to guide them so that when they come through, we don't just destroy everything. No, like we come through and some fresh breath is breathed in.
Yeah.
And through the pain, new, better things will grow and it'll be good.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate like all that you've shared with us, your story, the story of Bridgepoint and Bella Goose Coffee. And thanks for opening our eyes to things that are happening on the other side of the world that we just don't, we don't have in front of our faces on a regular basis. So we need people like you who sit on meetings. Before this call, he was telling me that, you know, they're on a meeting at 10 p.m. with somebody across the country talking about their coffee business. And we don't do that. Not a lot of us do that. And so we need people like you to bring that perspective. So thanks for doing that. Do you mind if I just pray and then we can wrap it up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you are for us and that you have good plans for us. God, I just ask that our will would become yours. God, I ask that not only would we be the church gathered on Sunday mornings, diving into your word. Yes, those are all good things that you call us to, God, but that we would be the church scattered, that we would go into our community, that we would see where the needs exist, and that we would just authentically show up. God, thank you that we don't need to know everything to be able to make a difference for your kingdom. Thank you that you are the one who equips us and you are the one who calls us. And I just pray, for each of our churches here in the Forest Lakes District, that you would open our eyes to areas in our local communities that need you and how we could play a part in that. And Jesus, thank you for Jordan and for Bridgepoint and the example that they've been in, just what outreach can look like and how that leads to discipleship and community transformation. And I just ask that you would continue to bless their efforts and just shine your light through them, and that you would receive all the glory. And it's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Forest Lakes District podcast. To connect with us or for more resources like this one, you can visit our website, www.forestlakes-efca.org.